Hello and welcome to the iFeatures podcast. Welcome to another episode in our second series, Stories About Place. We have a brand new round of iFeatures projects embarking on their development journeys, and we'll be hearing from those teams, as well as others from previous rounds of the programme, all about their films and how the places they are either set or filmed in contribute to the stories they are telling. In this episode, we have headed up to the northwest of England to visit Manchester. From big-budget international box office hits like Captain America and The Darkest Hour, to British independence like iFeature's very own Apostasy, Manchester can be called home to so many productions. We'll be speaking with another of this year's iFeature's cohort, writer-director Nakash Khalid, to hear his unconventional approach to his debut feature.
I'm very inspired structurally with music. There's a side A, there's a side B. Every single scene is a track. Every scene is a total banger. And the structure is very different to a film.
And we'll also be speaking to Screen Manchester's Bobby Cochran, discussing the film office arm of Manchester City Council and the huge offering the city has for productions.
Yeah, we love seeing Manchester on screen. You know, it's great to kind of bring in those kind of big international productions that want to double it as London or New York. But seeing Manchester on screen as well, it's great.
Manchester has for a long time had a reputation for being a breeding ground for creativity. Innovations from the Industrial Revolution right through to the music and film we see today, Manchester's voice can be seen and heard in so much art and creativity. Now home to Media City, the Northwest region has a hub dedicated to providing jobs and opportunities to those working in the screen industries. One of this year's iFeatures cohort, Nakash Khalid, is taking full advantage and inspiration from this recent evolution of the city he grew up in. A lecturer in media and performance at Salford University, Nakash is now developing his debut feature film, In Camera, on the iFeatures programme. Creative England's Abby Brennan caught up with him for a chat.
Hi Nakash, how's it going?
Hey Abby, it's going good.
Good. Yeah. Thanks for inviting us down to Salford Uni.
Thanks for coming down, yeah.
Can you give us a little tour and we can chat along the way?
Yeah? Let's cool. Do this. Yeah.
So how's the script coming along?
I'm not gonna lie, you guys have caught me in the first week of writing the script, so I'm feeling like everything all at once.
We're not here to check up on you, I swear.
Right.
So tell us your route into filmmaking.
I think it's quite an unconventional route in that I didn't go to film school or anything. I'm a self-taught director. I was studying English literature, but I'd always wanted to make films. So I kind of started off in theatre, made a few scrappy short films. But it's always interesting if you're coming at it from like a different medium or a different perspective. So I think coming at it not from a film school angle has been interesting.
So you're teaching students at the moment media and...
Media and performance.
Yeah. Yes. And you've been doing that for 4 years?
Yeah, it's a really interesting day job to have, yeah.
Yeah, is this the building that you teach in, this one?
Yeah, I teach across buildings. A lot of my main lectures are in this building.
So this is your lecture theatre?
Yeah, this is one of the lecture theatres I teach in.
And how are the students with you?
It's really interesting because I started teaching when I was 22. So you can imagine like a 22-year-old lecturer, it was like... You're our lecturer, what? Is this a joke? But no, I've always enjoyed teaching.
So when you say you're a self-taught filmmaker, is that literally just picking up a camera and trying to figure out what to do, watching films? Who sort of inspires you to want to make films?
Yeah, like when I was starting off in theatre, it just wasn't the right medium. Like everything I wanted to do was super visual. So eventually I just kind of had to move towards trying to figure out what those ideas look like in film. I'm not a very technical director, but I kind of know exactly what it is I want, and I think it was all about kind of finding the right people around me to kind of get the ideas I wanted out.
Did you just start making self-funded shorts to begin with?
Yeah, so my first shot, actually, I was like working three jobs, saving up just like a little bit of money to make my first film, just so I could pay cast and crew and have access to equipment. But yeah, I kind of just put out an ad and was like, does anyone know how to operate a camera or a mic or any of this equipment? And just kind of gathered a bunch of people who were really excited about the idea, and we just went for it.
That's really cool. What was that film called?
That film was called Parts, and that's a really scrappy film. But I learned so much on it. Like, I had no idea like what anyone's job was or what people did on a film set or anything like that. So
did you direct and produce on that as well?
Yeah. Like, wrote, directed, produced. Yeah.
So everyone was looking at you for ideas and to be the boss, and it was your first time producing a short as well. So
yeah,
that must have been a roller coaster.
It definitely was. I mean, when you're doing like low budget theatre, fringe theatre, you kind of just learn how to do everything. So I think having that experience of directing a bunch of actors on stage, it was quite transferable. When I was in uni, I basically wrote a bunch of plays and cast my friends, and then we just like booked the megabus and booked like tiny fringe venues in London across Manchester to perform at. And that kind of experience of putting together a show and getting people on board and with your ideas was just, it was the same with film. It's just, I think what's really exciting is just getting a bunch of creative people excited about your idea and getting them to help you and finding people who can do the things that you can't necessarily do. And in my case, that was everything technical, like who knows how to work this camera, who knows how to work sound. But yeah, it's exciting to kind of get everyone excited about a project.
So let's talk a little bit about your other short, Stock. So that was commissioned by Sky Arts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Stock is my first short film, I'd say. It's the first project I had that had any funding, even though we only had a little bit of money. And that was a really interesting experience because I wrote, directed, produced, and got my friends on board to kind of help me out. Like, my mum did the location scouting and catering. My friends helped produce. And that was the first time I was kind of figuring out how a film comes together and who are the people involved in filmmaking. Like, I honestly didn't know what a gaffer was when I was making Stock or anything like that. So I just assembled a really strong team of people who were excited about the project. I kind of wrote a lot of the parts for actors that I had in mind, but everything honestly that could have gone wrong on that film went wrong during the production of it. Like, my lead actor, for example, I'd written a role for this actor who was French who happened to speak Arabic, and we had visa issues with him, and I had to recast someone like 48 hours before. We had all of the logistical issues, but it was a really exciting experience to kind of figure out, like, this is how a film comes together and to kind of translate your vision through loads of different departments. Like, I really enjoyed working with my production designer, my DOP, my editor. And it was honestly, I know this sounds quite cliche, like making Stock was just a film school of like, this is how you make a film.
Yeah.
And it was just the best introduction to being a director. And I was really excited to kind of have the freedom, the opportunity to kind of do whatever I wanted to do on that film. And I think looking back, I was very naive. I mean, I'd written a weird fairy tale that was in four languages, of which I only spoke one of them. I was casting and working with international talent. I'd never really produced anything before. So yeah, it was definitely an introduction.
So In Camera, your first debut feature.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about that as we're going around the city. As I know, you wanted to take me on a tour of Manchester on different themes of transport. Why is that?
Yeah, so all of the scenes within camera are very kind of like interior set scenes. Throughout the film, everyone's constantly in transit. So the lead character's either getting in an Uber or boarding a bus or a tram. And there's this constant like movement or just being static for a long period of time and just kind of staying inside. So I thought what would be interesting is if we kind of move around, getting an Uber or a train or a tram. And I also think going around on public transport is a really unique way to see Manchester. And you see kind of like how diverse it is just in terms of like Media City, and then there's a council estate, and then there's a traditional city area, and then there's something that looks a little bit more suburban. And I think that is the kind of thing that I'm trying to contain within the film as well.
So should we go get the tram and we can take a little trip around Manchester?
Let's do it.
Yeah, cool.
Hi, can I have two singles, please, to Media City?
Sure.
Thank you.
So, Nakash, where are we going?
So we're on our way to Media City right now from the main campus.
Amazing. So what sort of inspiration have you taken from Media City when you've been developing your script for In Camera?
Yeah, so In Camera is set in Manchester, but it's pretty much a fictionalised version of Manchester. What I'm really interested in doing is kind of inventing a city that feels
quite confused about where it's placed, and a lot of that stems from like when we're on the bus right now, we can see traditional Salford City, like a lot of council estates, and then you have these kind of real oddities where it's like these hundreds of millions of pounds buildings that kind of just pop up and kind of look like these alien spaceships. Like Media City, for example, it kind of feels like a brochure when you're walking around there. And the kind of divide, the class divide, but also the visual divide between like where it's situated and what Media City is. I've always been interested in that kind of disparity. So in camera, it's a city that is said to be Manchester, but it just doesn't feel like Manchester. It feels completely off. It's kind of confused about the geography. It's confused about its national identity. And I just think that that is very much like representative of where we are right now. A lot of the changes that are going on in Manchester in the northwest, we're kind of losing what the northwest can look like sometimes.
Yeah.
So I think if you were to take someone who's never been to Manchester and walk them around Media City, as great as it is for like what it's doing around Manchester and the kind of economy it's bringing in, it doesn't look or feel like Salford or Manchester or the northwest.
What are you hoping audiences get from watching your feature films, particularly in camera?
As a director, what I'm more interested in is ambiguity and asking questions rather than answering questions. So what I want to do is just explore big, grand themes, but from a more unconscious point of view. So in camera, for example, like it's very much looking at like, what does it mean to be like a young person? What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be Asian or a person of color, or working class? But instead of kind of looking at it from the macro social realist point of view, which I feel like it's been done before, mm-hmm. I'm much more interested in like asking questions and looking at it from the specificity of the characters. So I don't really have any like massive hopes about like what audiences come with. I just want to make people think and to make people see things in different ways. I think it'd be completely counterproductive for me to have like really set aims of what I want my audience to take from my film. I think it needs to be much more individual, and I think it's a lot more ambiguous than that. So the film that I just finished, Stock, a lot of that was me kind of asking myself a lot of questions, but not necessarily answering them. And I think what I've really enjoyed about like screening that and now going to festivals is that people have such a different interpretation of what the film is about. A lot of the interpretations are kind of similar to what I thought they were about, but a lot of them are quite like wildly different, and it's really exciting to hear like a fresh take on your own film. And I think I don't ever really have all of the answers. I feel like I'm an audience member in the work that I'm doing, that I kind of want to have that level of openness where people can go in and be like, I think it's about this, or I think it's about that. And I'm more interested in that kind of filmmaking. Like, for example, In Camera is not structured like a film traditionally. It's structured as a concept album. I'm very inspired structurally with music. There's a side A, there's a side B. Every single scene is a track. Every scene is a total banger. And it's punctuated by like interludes, and the structure is very different to a film. It's very much kind of taken like a concept album structure and telling a story through these kinds of short vignettes. And I think it's really healthy as a new creative or someone who's looking at film, like, to question all of the things that you're inheriting. Like, why does it need to be a three-act thing? Why do we need these arcs? Why do we need to explain X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
I think the thing that's exciting about being an artist is really looking at what the methodology is and what the approach is, as well as the story. So I think what's great about being on iFeatures right now is everybody is so supportive of that level of exploration. For example, one of the ways in which like the structure works is I'm really interested in like being in the street and following our main character, and then looking at someone who's like an extra, who's like perceived to be unimportant, but then have like a 2-minute interlude just exploring their life and giving them like agency and time to be like, okay, this person's important now to the narrative.
And then you may never see them again in the narrative after that.
Completely. Yeah. And it's keeping that level of like just fluidity with the story, to be like, we know who the main characters are, but we kind of question and reframe that continuously throughout the story. And to me, that's always more exciting. Like, just someone like watching a film, I'm always rooting for like the supporting characters, or I just kind of love how like ambiguous sometimes supporting characters are in film. It's just like, that character's way more interesting. I want to see their film. And I think In Camera is a story that is about those people who are like secondary in other people's narratives, who are now given the time and the agency just creatively to be like, this is your story now. It's really exciting just as a writer to be like, right, okay, I'm following this. Like, there's an interlude in the film that follows like an 8-year-old girl who's just sat in a waiting room, and her story is just, her story is really complex, and her story is just as complex as the lead character's story. But yeah, I do hope it's a bit of a trip for an audience to be like, okay, where are we now? What are we doing now? Because I think a lot of the time there's a tendency to like tell the same story over and over again. And I'm only speaking as an audience member that, like, when I'm going to the cinema and I'm seeing films, like, I want to be challenged, I want to have a good time at the same time, but I want to see something new.
Thank you. Thank you. So, we're in Media City.
Yeah, we are.
I completely see what you mean about, you know, it looks very modern. Driving through, you do really see that difference, don't you? The contrast of real Salford to new Salford, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
So, what is the film about?
Okay, so In Camera is a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale about performance and about identity. And it follows an actor. His name is Aidan. He's just finished classical training at a prestigious drama school. And now he's moved back home. And he's going out for auditions. But the kind of industry we find him in is kind of an absurd version of the industry. So it's as if, like, when he goes into auditions, it's very Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He's kind of put into these rooms that are suffocatingly small, and everyone within these rooms kind of looks like him. And he's applying his very serious drama training to like selling toothpaste, and it doesn't turn out very well for him. And his day job is, he's doing these kinds of not very performative but performative day jobs. So he goes into like people's therapy session and kind of role plays for them, and he plays a body at one point for a police reenactment. So he's constantly looking for a way that he can find a role. It's pretty much, it's a fairy tale about performance and about identity.
So what was it like growing up in Manchester?
I think it's a beautiful city to grow up in. What I love about Manchester is just like how random it can feel. Like, you are like in a place like the city centre, and then like I live in Prestwich, for example, which is only 10 minutes from the city centre, but it's also like 5 minutes from a farm. So what could look like farmland to like mid suburban town to like major city. I kind of like how close all of that is. I think just visually, it's a really interesting space to inspire ideas and creativity. I'm really excited about being a director in Manchester today.
And what films really resonated with you that they're telling a story and you can feel the voice come out of it for the regional area?
Do you know what's really weird is, I actually, like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, just discovered the British New Wave. And I was seeing those films that were set in the north. It was kind of, it was really eye-opening, but it was also thinking, like, why are these films not made anymore? So I think that's a big reference point for In Camera. And just in terms of the North and screen, I think sometimes in recent years especially, the North has become a bit of a caricature of gritty social realism. And although that's definitely a part of it, it's not what defines Manchester. And I think there are other ways to tell Northern stories. So although In Camera is set in Manchester, it's very much a fictionalized version of Manchester. It's weird because I'm like working through all of these things as a writer, like, where is In Camera set? Is it Manchester? And if it is Manchester, what am I trying to say with Manchester, and how is that informing the story? And really, I think the story that I want to tell is set in a city that is just quite confused about its identity, its national identity, its visual identity, and Manchester is definitely inspiring that. And I definitely want to say that In Camera is set in Manchester, but it's not like a tangible real version of Manchester. It's more an imagined version of Manchester, and I think it's exciting to kind of reimagine the city.
Yeah. So why Eye Features? Why did you choose Eye Features as the development program for your first feature?
One of the things that I was really excited about with Eye Features is to kind of develop my feature with a cohort of other writer directors.
and to also allow myself the time and opportunity to just really explore what I'm doing, which would have been different if I was just like commissioned to just write a script. And I think iFeatures has provided like a lot of opportunity and time to think through my ideas in a way that feels like I'm exploring more.
Do you think having that safe space with other directors and writers has helped with the creative process for you?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'll just randomly text Alana about something, about like, what are you doing with this part of your script or that part of your script? And it's great to kind of have people who are also in a similar position to you. And I think one of the things that I missed out on by like not going to film school or training traditionally was this idea of like a cohort or a group of people who are similarly like doing the same thing that you're doing. And it's really exciting to kind of feel like you're part of a team of people who are going through the same thing.
So you got your producer attached, Juliet Lart.
Yeah. So one of the reasons I actually applied for iFeatures is that I didn't have a producer attached to my project. And Juliet's been really great to work with because, firstly, her background is like fashion, film, music videos, art, visual art, live art. Like, she's worked across medium, and like just her like fluidity of how she approaches a project is very artist driven and very specific. So she wasn't intimidated by the fact that I was going into the meeting and being like, it's a concept album and every scene is a track and it's the side A and side B. And she was really excited about what I wanted to do and really understood me. And I think a lot of the time with producers, it's just kind of finding someone who A, gets what you're trying to do and shares the same ambition for the project, and B, just understands you as an artist and how you want to work. And out of all of the people I met, Juliet was the one who was just really excited and I wanted to work with the most.
So how are you finding lecturing at Salford Uni and trying to write your first draft? How's that been, trying to juggle that?
Interesting. I think one of the things I think we don't talk about is how time is a currency. Yeah. And I think it sounds like such a cliche, and I know it's very obvious, but just the ability to have the time and freedom to focus on writing is like not something that I've had before. I really love my job, but I kind of needed some time to just kind of work on the script. So I've got a sabbatical next semester, so I can just focus on writing the script. And again, that's because of the commission and the iFeature support that I can do that. So it's exciting to just, you know, have time to write a draft and not think about everything else.
And probably for the first time to solely be focusing on a script.
Dude, for the first time just to be working on the script. Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Well, good luck with the first draft.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll keep monitoring and hear about how you're going on, and we'll catch up in the next coming months. But yeah, carry on doing what you're doing.
Thanks, Abby.
A really interesting and unique sounding project there from Nakash Khalid. We'll be sure to keep a close eye on how that one is developing. Now, whilst Abby was spending the day on public transport, it seemed like a good time to hop back onto the tram and head over to East Manchester, where Space Studios is located. This is the base for Screen Manchester, the film office arm of Manchester City Council. Development manager Bobby Cochran had invited Abby over to take a look around the studios and talk all things filming in Manchester.
Thanks, Bobby, for inviting us down to Space.
No problem.
How's it going?
Very well, yeah. You?
Good, yeah. How's filming going in Manchester at the moment?
Excellent. I mean, we've just recorded our busiest year to date in the city. So 2019, we've facilitated just over 20 TV dramas to shoot in the city, which is a record. And it just kind of goes to show the growth that the city's experiencing. And obviously ties into obviously where we are today, obviously where the film office is based at Space Studios. So yeah, it's been a fantastic busy year. Kind of key things like Morbius shooting in March, you know, big feature film, kind of Spider-Man spin-off. They use streets in the Northern Quarter to double as New York. So yeah, it's been really full on.
Brilliant year for Screen Manchester.
Yeah, yeah.
So when did Screen Manchester set up?
So we opened our doors July 2017, and it was a decision taken by the city, you know, to kind of strategic decision to kind of plan, you know, basically for the increase in demand and interest in producers, content creators coming to the city to produce. So obviously the studios were getting busier, the Sharp project was getting busier with tenants, and that demand was going up from
not just kind of the indigenous drama, but obviously international production companies coming into the city to produce content. So they took the decision to create the film office to kind of meet that demand and make sure that that was that full suite of services to production companies. So when they're in the studio, they got that first class service. As soon as they step out of the studio onto location, they get the same first class service in terms of road closures, police assistance. So film offices, you know, that's kind of why they're created, really, to obviously kind of shore up those kind of links in with all the relevant departments and make sure that we're kind of doing what we're saying.
What is it about Manchester's locations you think that really attracts these big productions to the city?
I think it's the architecture is obviously a key one. Obviously the history of the city, you know, the kind of textile kind of history of it. We've got a lot of beautiful locations across the city. A big thing that we do is location doubles. So we double quite well for modern and period New York, modern and period London. So that's a really attractive thing for a production company to come in, that they know that they can come in and shoot it as other parts of the world. But, you know, likewise, production companies will come and shoot it as Manchester, shoot as the city. There's a lot of development happening at the city at the minute, which is great, and the city's changing all the time. So, yeah, I think the locations and the architecture and just, you know, how easy it is. You know, we are a film-friendly city. The police force are great. They're very supportive on, you know, the very ambitious, wild kind of scenes that the production companies want to do, so we can close roads for stunts. Our highways department are first class. They'll react to things, you know. If you think about a city like Manchester, those inquiries are coming in thick and fast. So you've got to react to them. You've got to have departments that are willing to kind of work with you to make things happen.
I know the Town Hall is quite a popular location that people want to use. I remember when you were saying to me that it was going to be closed for renovations, that a lot of productions were very disappointed in that.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're obviously, it's closed at the minute. It kind of reopens back in 2024. I mean, yeah, there is a bit of that kind of pain to get over at the minute. Mm. We've had, you know, a few inquiries that have come in wanting to use it, but the building's going to change for the better and be more of an attractive proposition for TV dramas, feature films. I mean, it was used on the last series of Peaky Blinders, A Very English Scandal, Darkest Hour. So big production companies are used to using it. So yeah, it's closed at the minute. Obviously it is essential maintenance. So, you know, once we get over that and it reopens again, it's going to be like fantastic. It's going to be much easier for productions to go in and shoot as well.
So what sort of productions have used Manchester in the last, say, 5 years?
Oh, we've had a whole host of productions, TV dramas. But yeah, I mean, over recent years, we've had Official Secrets. They came in and shot Manchester as London. So that was great. That's out cinema at the minute.
It's just come out, right?
Yeah, so it's just come out at the minute. So that was great. We've had Tolkien, Morbius, which we've touched on, A Very English Scandal, Age Before Beauty, both series of Brassic, Cold Feet, Curfew. Curfew is a good one as well, because we got a call from the producer a couple of weeks after the office opened. So we were literally open for a couple of weeks, getting everything kind of sorted. And then Simon Maloney, which is, you know, he's a kind of top TV producer, you know, he called us wanting to set up a meeting with the police and highways. He had a very ambitious project. He was kind of saying, look, it's going to be nighttime closures. It's going to be stunts. It's going to be full on. There's, you know, it's going to be guns, everything. So this was the real test for the film office. Could it deliver the expectations they wanted to in the city? So we very quickly organized a meeting with one of the senior guys at the highways department, the police. We came in and had a sit down meeting, and then on the back of that, they did 5 big closures in the city center. One of them was the Mancunian Way.
What was that like?
Yeah, it was full on. I mean, timing wise you know, they jumped on the back of a kind of maintenance closure. So, you know, obviously everything kind of just aligned at the right time, really. So this kind of maintenance closure, it gets shut a couple of times a year for the essential maintenance. So we managed to kind of work, you know, with the locations department to drop it into the schedule round about this maintenance kind of check. So as soon as they finished on there, they extended the closure from like 6 p.m. till 5 a.m. the following morning, and did what they did on it, speeding cars fast. But it's great. I mean, as I say, it was never been shut before for filming. Obviously, it's a massive arterial route in the city. Once it goes down, people notice it. So it's not going to happen every day. But obviously, when we get, you know, the projects that, you know, are really kind of serious about doing the planning and the notification and the liaison with all the relevant kind of parties and stuff, because it's a big old closure. But as I say, yeah, it happened. It looked great on screen. And yeah, we made up with it.
And for people who haven't seen Curfew, it's quite something, isn't it?
I'd definitely suggest catching it, on Sky, because it's kind of like this kind of street race, all different kind of personalities, people joining this race for different reasons. And then, as I say, it shoots right across the Northwest. So Johnny at Creative England, you know, we work very closely because obviously productions don't see those boundaries and stuff, but we, as kind of offices that work with local authorities, we have to kind of make sure that the relevant people are getting informed. So yeah, we work very close with Johnny on it, you know, right across, you know, the Northwest, taking in a whole variety of locations. So I definitely suggest people catch it. It's great.
And they were here for about 4 or 5 months, weren't they? They were here for a long time.
Yeah, they based at Space Studios as well. So they used a couple of stages, and they had kind of 2 units, so they had massive kind of parking requirements, and obviously at a site like this they can cater for those massive units. Obviously they've got 6 stages, and obviously the parking is a big thing. You need to make sure that you can get all your trucks and everything. And they had, I think, about 7 or 8 principal vehicles that are in the show, so you have to make sure that all those are kind of protected and on site and can be worked on.
So we know big productions film here, we know big dramas come here, but we also get independent films. Apostasy, which was an iFeatures film, did some filming, I think, in 2017 around Manchester too.
Yeah, so we supported that as well. I think it was the iFeatures round 4, I think.
Yeah.
So we worked with the location manager. They shot a couple of key locations across the city. I think they shot in an old police station, which is not too far away from Space.
Yeah.
They shot in a hospital as well in the city, a couple of residential locations. They did some low loader filming. So yeah, the film office is very much here from, you know, any level of production really, and any production genre. We operate a permit system, but we're here for, you know, could be kind of a 2-person crew looking to do vox pops in the city centre, right up to your kind of high-end dramas, features. You know, a film office needs to cater for every production company. So it's just great to kind of support that talent in their first feature film. You know, it's a big, big risk for them, a big challenge for them. So as long as you can kind of support them along the way and make sure that you kind of, you know, you're getting them permissions and stuff, it's just one less thing on their list to kind of, you know, worry about.
Yeah, and it was obviously brilliant that Dan Cocktailo shot it as Manchester as well.
Yeah,
so
it's great. Yeah, we love seeing Manchester on screen. You know, it's great to kind of come in with the doubles. Obviously that brings in those kind of, you know, big international productions that want to double it as London or New York, but seeing Manchester on screen as well, it's great. So yeah.
And what sort of benefits do you think having a studio has on a city?
Yeah, I think massive, really. I mean, Manchester's investment over the last kind of 5 to 10 years has been very strategic, very thought through and very intentional, because you look at the city now, productions don't just kind of come in, you know, shoot on location and move out. You know, they've really created an infrastructure here that's attracted businesses to come and set up. So you need to have the studio, you need to have the locations, you need to have the crew. We've got obviously very experienced kind of crew base here that will travel across the region. The support businesses coming in and getting your lighting, your camera, your sound. Obviously, we've got businesses based on here at Space that have come in and taken units here to obviously kind of be on hand for production. So that kind of infrastructure that's in the city now has really given it solid foundations for productions to come in and stay here. You know, we have a lot of independent production companies based in and around the city, but also kind of production companies that will do a couple of projects here. So they're almost here kind of, you know, semi-permanent all the time. So, but having a studio is just a very important offer, because obviously it's not just the studios, but it's obviously the production offices, construction workshops, prop storage, you know, all of that adds, you know, to the smooth running of a production.
And you can see the knock-on effect, I guess, because you've got Tatton Estate, who have obviously set up their own mini studios doing their thing. So you can see sort of the ripple effect that's starting to happen out of Manchester into the Northwest.
Yeah, and that's, as I say, where it's kind of great to work with Creative England, Johnny at Creative England, because the Northwest is such a diverse region. You know, you've got cities like kind of Manchester and Liverpool and Preston and stuff, but it's that rural, you know, location that productions want. You know, you can come here and shoot a city centre and then do a unit move 45 minutes down the road. You can be, Cheshire East, kind of at Tatton Park or Tatton Estates or Alderley Edge. So, yeah, having those kind of rich, diverse locations in the region benefits Manchester as well, because those production companies may come in for a rural location and then Johnny could contact us and say, look, you know, we've heard that they're looking for some city centre stuff, can you feed into this? So yeah, it's just anything we can do to get the production into the region is a win.
I think you can see that as well with the diversity of productions that choose to base here, like Tolkien, obviously, 20th century, and then you've got Curfew, which is a dystopian near future. They couldn't be more opposite.
Poles apart, I know,
they're set in the same place, which is just, it's magical, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's the sort of general feedback you get from location managers, producers, the people who maybe haven't filmed outside of London or the M25 before and then have been uprooted, told they're going to Manchester? What's all the feedback from those guys?
Well, you just want to make sure that, you know, things are getting done as easy as possible. Obviously, it is a very busy city. You know, when you get a lot of productions, there's a lot of time and demands put on our highways department, our police, our events unit, public realm. So first thing is you want to make it as easy as possible. You want to make it as kind of cost effective as possible. The savings you can get from kind of shooting outside of London, you know, are significant. So you want to make sure that the infrastructure costs around like road closures, parking, you know, security, location fees, facility fees and stuff are allowing the producers to put the money on screen, because that's what we want. We want them to come up and have a kind of a fluid experience that they may not get yes for everything. That's not what being film friendly is about. Being film friendly is being on hand, reactive, working with, you know, the relevant departments, you know, knowing what you're talking about, what can and can't be done, but obviously delivering as much as the production want, you know, because there's some things that you have to kind of bend on, which the productions and stuff understand. But that's for a film office, you know, we're thinking about, you know, not just maybe the 5 or 6 dramas that are filming at the minute, but the next 10 that are going to come next year and the 10 after that. You've got to make sure that the legacy that's left in the city is positive. If you've got a short-term view on it of just kind of facilitating this and leaving a bit of a negative legacy, then you're going to trip yourself up. So, but having said that, it's a very can-do city. You'll listen to any application that comes in. And as you said, when you've got projects like from Tolkien to Curfew, it just shows what the city is facilitating on a yearly basis.
So should we take a little walk around space and let's you can show some of the stages? Yeah. Great. Cool.
So welcome to Space Studios. This is where we've got 6 dedicated stages, production office space. We're here in the canteen, we're just at lunchtime, so a lot of the crew are coming down and taking a well-deserved break. So it's where the film office is based as well. Makes sense for the film office to be plugged into the studios, just so we can kind of see what kind of jobs are coming in and when they're going out on location. We've got production offices on the first floor, we've got makeup rooms, we've got costume, we've got green rooms, props, construction, you know, the stages. So it's a real kind of first class facility really for productions.
What was it before it was space?
It was an old Fujitsu site, one of their kind of offices in Manchester. So it kind of lent itself really, because some of the stages have been adapted from some of the old computer halls and stuff, which is obviously very similar to stages. And then they've got stages 1 and 2 were purpose built, brand new stages. And then stage 6 has been open a couple of years. That's 30,000 square foot, 40 foot high, clear span kind of space for a lot of the dramas. We've got a big drama in there at the minute doing some kind of big build. So yeah, it's just growing the facility as, you know, as the demand kind of increases. You know, it's great really to be involved. Yes, we're just leaving the canteen now, and as we kind of walk down, you'll see kind of costume rails for some of the productions that are coming in shooting next year. Some quite interesting,
very interesting
some things. But you know, there's loads of space, there's loads of rooms that productions can hire out and basically do what they want really. So again, it's just about giving production companies that kind of welcome to Manchester, that first class kind of service. So yeah, as we're just kind of getting closer towards the stages 1 and 2, again, it's kind of replicated in terms of the rooms. So you've got kind of green rooms here. Sometimes they'll be used as like tutor rooms. So if you get productions that have got children on it, they need that space to go and kind of, you know, study and stuff as well. So it's really, really flexible. You know, the corridors will complement the stages. So we're just going through now to stages like 1, 2 and 3. And obviously the corridor that we just walked down is all the support spaces for them. It's great really to have these facilities in the city.
For people who may not have seen a sound stage before, can you explain what it sort of looks like inside?
It's basically like a clear space, you know, and the heights there to obviously kind of let them build sets up. So it's basically kind of like a big kind of enclosed kind of box, really, that is kind of fully soundproof, acoustically treated. So obviously there's none of that environmental noise coming in, and it's just a clear span. So, you know, obviously productions can go in and build whatever sets they like, really.
Cool. Thank you so much for having us down today.
No problem, yeah.
And I'll see you soon.
Thank you.
That's it from Manchester and for this episode. We'll be back in the new year. Thank you for listening. I've been your host, Andy Johnson. If you'd like to get in touch about anything you've heard on the podcast or to share your thoughts on the series, we can be found on Twitter at iFeaturesUK. And please do leave us a review and rating on your podcast app. It really does help us to become more discoverable, and then more people can learn about film development. Don't forget to subscribe to the series on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and then next month's episode will just drop into your feed when it's released. This podcast is brought to you by Creative England, a national body that invests in creative talent and businesses across film, TV, games, and digital media to help turn ideas into reality. iFeatures is led by Creative England and supported by BBC Films, Screen Skills, and made possible through National Lottery funding from the BFI. You can find more information about the programme and this year's 12 selected filmmaking teams on Creative England's website. This series was created and produced by Tonality Media and hosted by me, Andy Johnson.